Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me on the Light Journal podcast. I'm Jamie Perez. This is the sixth episode of the Becoming Who You Are series, and today I'll be talking about being love. I can say without any doubt that not a single human being on this planet has ever experienced unconditional love from another human. No one. No one. It's impossible, because humans put conditions on everything, including love, especially love. Even the most enlightened people in our world have limitations on their love. This morning, when I asked Spirit for a message that I needed to hear, this was the topic. I needed to know that I am love. Me. I'm love. And I'm love because I am loved unconditionally as an extension of the divine. There's no conditions on this love. There's no limit to it. It is completely accepting of me, as I am, where I am, when I am, as who I am. That's unheard of in human experience. From childhood, we're shown the limits of love. From our parents, siblings, friends, and society, we learn that being loved depends on what we do. We have to behave a certain way and adhere to certain beliefs. If we deviate from either of these things, we get rejected in some way. We're no longer treated the same way as those who comply with other people's expectations. That's what human love really is, falling in line with someone else's expectations and doing what is expected of you. Every generation and every culture has a different idea of what those expectations are. So that can't be a true definition of love. And it certainly isn't a true definition of unconditional love. So, what is it? I hope you'll be a little patient with me as I go back to my religious background. The Bible is full of examples where God rejects those who don't meet his expectations. But there's one verse in Proverbs that has been on repeat in my mind. It's found in chapter 14, verse 12. Quote, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but those ways end in death," unquote. Now, this verse has traditionally been used to show how the Hebrew God rejects those who don't follow the straight and narrow path. And within the context of this chapter, that probably is the most accurate interpretation. But I'd like to re-examine this verse from a more spiritual perspective. What are the ways that seem right to us humans? What if I said that it refers to the underlying illusion of being separate from the divine? That it's an attitude and a belief that we're unworthy of love, especially unconditional love, and believe we deserve whatever horrible things happen to us. Americans in particular have a every man for himself attitude. Worse, many believe that God is actively punishing people and even entire communities for making bad choices or not believing the right things. If we're suffering, alone, homeless, or barely surviving, people may blame us, claim it's our karma, or that we're simply not worthy of blessings. If we're religious, our community might excuse our pain by claiming God is disciplining us to hone our faith. But regardless of the situation, the underlying belief is that we humans are supposed to suffer through life and reap the consequences of our choices in the afterlife. We've been taught that we don't deserve unconditional love, if it even exists, and that no one deserves a helping hand with their food, shelter, or clothing. We've been taught that humanity is incapable of living in harmony with the earth or with one another. We've been taught to believe that some people are more important than others, and that all people are more important than Mother Earth and everything else living upon her. We've been taught that we're powerless to change ourselves, let alone change the world. We've been taught to fear and destroy whatever is different or unfamiliar. So what's the end result of these beliefs? Death. And what is death? It's separation. Nothing more and nothing less. So just think about this for a moment. Look at our world today. Everything is polarized. Families are splitting apart because of politics. People are canceling one another because of something that other person said or did. This polarization is so extreme that even the most isolated person is aware of it. We've become a society that defines itself by who we are not, rather than who we are. We've disconnected ourselves from one another, from the earth, and from Source itself. Not only have we disconnected, we've become afraid of one another, and of the earth, and of Source itself. This is the true meaning that I see in Proverbs 14:12. Humanity is deluded about who and what he is, and the inevitable results are feelings of separation and fear. If humanity is deluded, and that delusion results in beliefs about separation from the divine, from the earth, and from one another, then what is the truth? The truth is that we are love. I know how contrary that sounds. Didn't I just say that we're under a powerful delusion? So how can we be love if we put all kinds of conditions on it? How can we be love if we're so busy canceling one another that love and acceptance become nothing more than tools used for control, coercion, and manipulation? Well, because there's a difference between the mask we wear and the person wearing it. In this case, our body is the mask, and we're the soul inhabiting it. Our higher self is well aware of what we are, but our thoughts are creating so much noise that it's drowning out our higher self. We're going to have to quiet that noise if we want to hear the subtle voice inside. That's the voice of the one who knows the truth and who can see beyond the delusions of separation and fear. Several years ago, as I was working through many layers of trauma, I discovered that false beliefs about unconditional love were buried so deep inside me that I didn't even realize it was affecting everything and everyone in my life. Through meditation, I saw for the first time how desperately I sought approval and validation from everyone in my life because that was how I defined love. I felt I had to earn it, and if I had to earn it, then if I ever stopped doing the things that pleased my parents, my husband, my kids, or my friends, then I would lose them. This belief was reinforced by the church and by all my religious friends because every time I changed churches, they abandoned me. But the most damaging of these relationships was my belief that I had to earn God's love. And by God, I'm referring to the God of the Bible. Despite what the preachers and Christians like to say, the God of the Bible does not love unconditionally. The Bible states he is a God of wrath, of judgment, of anger, and genocide. He is, for lack of a better description, a God made in man's image. Now, I could go into an in-depth account of all the reasons why the God of the Bible loves in the same conditional and coercive way that humans do, but suffice to say, nowhere in the Bible does he display unconditional love for people. And as a very fervent believer during those 30 years, I absorbed that message. Even after I lost my faith in the God of the Bible, that damage remained. It was an ongoing scar on my heart. I couldn't love myself, and I didn't expect anyone else could either unless I worked for it. And by working for it, I mean being what other people expected me to be. I truly didn't believe anyone could love me for myself, but only for what I could do or be for them. By working through the trauma caused by Christianity and the Bible, I began to discover Source as who it is, rather than who I thought it was. Source is unconditional love. And how do I know that? Because of how Source has worked with me. At no point since I became aware of the source of all that is, have I experienced anything but love and acceptance. When I'm seeking guidance, it's never condemning, even when I'm castigating myself. It's never critical or judgmental. It never discourages me. When I need to heal, the healing comes. When I'm struggling, its presence is felt. So why is it that I'm experiencing unconditional love from Source? It's because there is no separation. I am not separate from Source. Source is me, and I am Source. In order to really grasp what this means, envision the original energy that started everything. Like a big bang, it just spread across the nothingness, filling it with itself. Planets, stars, life of all sorts. It created everything from its own essence, its own energy. And in so doing, it could experience physicality at all levels, from the inanimate to the animate, from the single photon to the most complex life form, all of it is source in a multitude of expressions. This is also known in modern science as the quantum field, and the idea that we're all parts of this one energy source is known as quantum entanglement. So the truth is, we are truly part of one source, and the consciousness of that one source flows through all of us. There is no separation, there is no death, there is no rejection, there are no conditions to being accepted. Source can do no less than love itself unconditionally. And we, the individuated souls, are the ones who have the privilege of experiencing life on Source's behalf, on a living planet, in a living universe. This is how I can say that we are love itself. We just need to rediscover that. We just need to see beneath our masks. Thanks for listening. I'm Jamie Perez with the Light Journal Podcast. If you'd like to explore your past lives or develop your own spiritual awareness, you can learn more on my Facebook page, The Light Journal. Blessings on your journey, everyone.